Thank you so much, worship team, for your music this morning and leading us in worship and thankfulness. A couple of announcements real quickly before we dismiss for Children's Church. Christ's birthday observance occurs during the month of December, and there is a devotional booklet. It is available at the Welcome Center. It looks like this. So grab one. There's enough for one for every family or probably one for every adult here. So please take advantage of these. They're available today, and the devotions actually start, kind of focus us on the theme of Christ's birthday observance for this year. They start on December 1st. So grab yours today. We take up an annual Christ's birthday offering. That will happen on December 18th. So please take note of that. If you are looking for a way to give back to some who may not get Christmas gifts at Christmas time, Tony Martin, back over here, has names of some South Knox Elementary students who could use some Christmas gifts. If you would see her, you can help out in that way. Kids Hope Mentors. There are only 2 days of school this week, Monday and Tuesday, so if you mentor on Wednesday, if you can go one of the earlier days or just not mentor this week, but Brandy Canoy wanted us to be aware that only Monday and Tuesday for South Knox Elementary School. Tonight is our all-church Thanksgiving supper, without a doubt our biggest and finest meal effort at the church. So if you have any questions about that, you can see Kimberly Bouye or Martha Stroud, or ask somebody that you think might know about that. If you've signed up for one of the big items, great. If you haven't, there are other items. The information's in your bulletin about that. So we always have plenty of food. So even if you're not bringing anything, come and share this meal with us. After the event, after the big meal, there are two ways in which you can help. One, it's a major cleanup event after this major dinner. So you can help in the kitchen with cleanup, table taking down and all that stuff, dishwashing, etc., etc. So please think about helping there. The second thing is, the way the calendar falls this year, next Sunday will be for the first Sunday in Advent. So we redecorate the church for the Advent season, put up our nativity in the back, Christmas trees and so forth and so on that remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. So you can help with that as well. And you can gather in here. That'd be a good plan. And you can get assignments on how you can help with the decorating project. I believe that's all the announcements we need made. Remember, there's no Wednesday activities here, no WWJD or no adult Bible study as well this week. So please plan to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday with your family. Okay, younger children, you may be dismissed for Children's Church. We're going to talk for a few minutes about 1 in 10, probably for some of us a familiar story from the Gospels. Unique to the Gospel of Luke is this particular story. If your kids like jokes, if your children like jokes, here's a couple of Thanksgiving groaners that you can use on them. Why did the turkey cross the road? Because it was the chicken's day off. Okay. Which side of the turkey has more feathers? The outside, of course. What do you get when you cross a turkey and a banjo? You get a turkey that can pluck itself. Well, so much for that. Thanksgiving. The traditional American holiday, for me personally, Thanksgiving is one of the favorites. Included but not limited to turkey with gravy, mashed potatoes with gravy, dressing with gravy, green beans and corn with gravy, yeast rolls with butter, change it up a little bit, whipped cream with a little bit of pumpkin pie alongside. I love it. Aside from this food thing, this concept of giving thanks and having a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude, certainly has an illustrious place in American history, but the idea of this idea of gratitude and thanks is clearly a biblical principle. We didn't think this up, America. God was very much in this mode of having a people and a response to His grace and His goodness, a response of gratitude and thanks. So the theme runs throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we find the word thanks or thanksgiving some 70 times, over 30 times in the Psalms. In fact, one of the places, and this phrase, this scripture occurs over and over again in the Psalms, different times. Read with me from the PowerPoint. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. In the New Testament, we find this theme of thanksgiving reoccurring over and over. And Jesus Himself gave thanks, and in some unusual circumstances. You remember, I think it's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, Jesus feeding the 5,000. There are people out on the hillside, out in a remote area, listening to Him preaching and teaching, and they're all gathered there, and they're there for a long time, and the next thing you know, it's time to eat, and there's nothing available except 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, ladies, let me just ask you, if this was your situation, and you were faced with feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children, so, you know, rough calculation, it could have been 15 to 20,000 people there. Ladies, if you had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, would you be concerned about feeding that massive amount of people? That's ridiculous. Yet, look at what Jesus did when He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks. He gave thanks. When you're in a tough circumstance, when the odds seem to be against you, do you give thanks? There's another example in the life of Jesus when His friend Lazarus had died, and He went to Mary and Martha to comfort them, and He decided that it was God's plan and God's will that Lazarus be raised from the dead. And so we find these words. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank You. I thank You. Jesus gave thanks that His Father heard Him, heard His prayers, listened to His prayers. I knew that You always hear Me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that You sent Me. Jesus had this mentality, this idea of thanks and gratitude. And even in the feeding of the 5,000 and the death of His friend, He gave thanks. Paul, in his writings, spoke of this idea of thanksgiving over and over. The theme reoccurs. Here in Philippians, Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a simple question this morning. Think with me. How is your gratitude index this morning? How is your... If we were to use the scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least thankful, 10 being the most thankful, where would you put yourself? Think about a number. Where is your gratitude index this morning? How often do we simply take things for granted? How often do we take things for granted? My wife and I own 3 old cars. None of them have made it into the teens yet. The reason we have 3 cars is so we can keep at least 2 of them running at the same time. While I was gone to South Dakota with my old Jeep, my wife calls me and said, the Altima won't start. Okay? How many of you, when you go to get in your car and you turn the ignition or you push the button, the start button. How many of you expect your car to start? Yeah. We just take it for granted, don't we? We take it for granted that it's going to start. And sometimes it doesn't. We're going to look at a video in a second. What if God took away all those things that you took for granted? This is kind of a clever little video, but it really makes you think about this attitude of gratitude. Let's take a look.
Seriously?
Okay. Oh. Where is it all going?
Please, please, please.
Yes. Why is this happening?
It's 1278.
All right, let me get your... No, buddy. No, no, buddy. No, no, buddy.
Hey, honey. Are you taking things for granted again?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, well, is there anything you can do about that? Because we really need to do some laundry.
Lord, will you... please give me a more grateful heart. Honey! My car! Okay.
Gratitude. How often do we take things that we have for granted? We're going to look at an incident in Jesus' life, Luke chapter 17. If you have a Bible or a Bible app on your phone, please go there with me. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Lord, illumine our hearts to some principles, some truths that we find in this scripture. Help us to know how important it is for us to truly have thankful hearts and the difference that it can make in our lives and how we affect the lives of others. We give you thanks for this day and for this scripture and for this example. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to look at 4 different things here about this story. Of scripture that Paul gave us, "Be joyful, always pray, continually give thanks in all circumstances." In all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, from the story of the 10 lepers and the one who came back to give thanks, let's talk a moment about life's journey. Life's journey. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So picture with me the geography of during Jesus' time in Israel. Galilee was to the north, Sea of Galilee here. Samaria in the middle, and then Judea below. So Galilee, Samaria, Judea. Jerusalem was in Judea. So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. This was a place that was kind of like not going where you wanted to go. Samaritans were considered half-breeds. They had intermarried with Gentile peoples, and so they were not favored by the pure Jewish, those of pure Jewish lineage. And so this was a hard place. Jews did not have dealing with Samaritans. So this was a difficult place. So as we journey through life, we often find ourselves in difficult places. We look around, we see tremendous needs, we have needs, we face trials and difficulties. Jesus told us that we would have trouble. In this life you will have trouble, Jesus said. In Luke's gospel, according to the chronology of Luke's gospel, this would be the final journey that Jesus made from Galilee to Jerusalem. The Gospels, John's Gospel especially, gives us indication that Jesus traveled to Jerusalem numerous times, but this would be the final journey that Jesus was taking. So let's think about that. This was Jesus' final journey, and he knew what awaited him there. In a very real sense, we are all journeying to our final destination. And we often find ourselves in those places that are challenging. But rest assured that if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, our final destination is in heaven, to be with Him forever. The question today is, what are we doing along this pathway, this journey of life? What are we doing? How are we living? How are we meeting the challenges that this journey in sometimes difficult places, how are we handling that? We know that this journey is filled with life's needs. As Jesus experienced this, it says in the gospel, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now let's think about this. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus knew what awaited him there. We can only imagine what was on the mind and the heart of Jesus and how he was processing what was about to happen. So, it would not be unreasonable to think that Jesus had every reason to simply ignore and walk past these 10 lepers who needed him and who were crying out to him. Sorry, I can't stop now. I'm going to die. I'm going to Jerusalem to be arrested and tortured and crucified. I don't have time. He could have chose to ignore the cries of the lepers. Lepers in Jesus' day were outcasts in every sense of the word. Today we know leprosy is curable. In the past 20 years, 16 million people have been cured of leprosy. But in Jesus' day, they were social outcasts. The disease was considered highly contagious, and there was this social stigma that accompanied this malady, and it served to isolate lepers from the rest of society. So, an important concept that we need to understand from this incident is that even though Jesus was on his way to the cross, to the culmination of his mission on earth, he took time to address the needs that were presented to him. He took time to respond positively to these 10 lepers. So I believe this begs the question for us today. What are the needs that we see in the world around us? Needs that cry out to us right out our back door. How are we responding to them? Are we simply ignoring them? Or are we thoughtfully giving of our time and our resources to address and to meet the needs of those that are all around us? Are we too busy to reach out to the lost? Are we too busy to build relationships? Are we too busy to personally be discipled and to disciple others? Are we reading and studying God's Word daily? Are we giving ourselves to intense and fervent life of prayer so that God might guide us and equip us to meet the needs that are everywhere, that are all around us? Are we ignoring the greater work that God is calling us to as we journey through life? How are you and I making an eternal difference in the lives of those around us? How are we storing up treasures in heaven, which means simply investing in people, because people are the only ones that go to heaven? How are we doing with that? Are we being the salt and the light that Christ calls us to be? Life's needs, they're all around us. Thirdly, we see here life's answer. We see clearly life's answer. When he saw them, when Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And they, as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus, we know this. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know ultimately that Jesus is the answer. We know the answer. We know that Jesus is the answer. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said it himself. We know that following Jesus, that taking up our cross, that denying self, learning to serve one another in love, is the answer. We know it. We know that living by faith in the risen Christ and following his example is the answer to life. It's a life abundant and full. So why don't we live it? Are we not all like the lepers in the story? We all need Jesus. We all need his healing touch, his healing word. Is it not true that in our following the way of Jesus, we find ourselves well, healed, whole? In confession, we are forgiven and cleansed, as the word says. To be physically strong and well physically is a great blessing from God. I often find myself thanking God in prayer for the health and the strength that he has granted to me. Those of you, and there are several of you, who have struggled with debilitating illnesses, know what a blessing good physical health really is. But let's think about this. Greater still is this idea of spiritual well-being, being healthy spiritually. One of the great blessings of life, and it's offered to us freely through the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of a loving God poured out to us, the life of Jesus. So, this life of following Jesus day by day, moment by moment, seeking him, learning his way, is in reality the way to cleansing. Daily being conformed to the image of Jesus. Daily walking with Jesus. So let's take a moment to think about life's thanks. As we read in the story, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. So the implication here is that there was a mix of Jews and Samaritans in the group. Jesus notes, the gospel writer notes, that this was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? The one who is far off, the Bible talks about how God brought us all together, those who are far off, those who are near, those being the Jews, the ones that had the laws of God and the prophets. Then he said, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. How rare is a truly thankful heart? How rare? In this story, it's 10%, 1 in 10, who came back to give thanks to the Lord. Now, I believe that these final words that Jesus told the leper who was healed, the Samaritan leper, rise and go, your faith has made you well. I believe there's more here than meets the eye to begin with. I believe that Jesus is talking about more than physical healing from this awful plague of leprosy. I believe that Jesus spoke of spiritual healing as well. I believe he was talking about healing of the spirit that caused the Samaritan, considered to be an outcast by virtue of his nationality, an infidel by virtue of his gene pool, and the social stigma of having this considered to be a highly contagious disease of leprosy. This man, Jesus was saying that this man, this Samaritan, was not only healed physically, but also granted by his faith a relationship with God and granted, amazingly, a grateful heart. True healing true healing. Therefore, he was healed spiritually. His sins were forgiven. How grateful are you for the gift of life? How grateful are you for the physical health that God gives you? How grateful are you for spiritual healing, to be able to have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ? How grateful are you? Are you, in a spiritual sense, falling at the feet of Jesus saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you? I heard someone say many years ago that when we accept Christ as our Savior and we realize how great salvation is, the rest of our life should be lived as if we were writing a thank you note to Jesus for what he's done for us. How's your thank you note to Jesus going in your life? Do you truly have a grateful heart? We're thankful for many things, I believe. We're thankful for the prosperity, for the standard of living that we enjoy in the United States of America. We're thankful for many things. We're thankful for our family. We're thankful for the provisions that God has for us. Have you expressed your thanks to God for this amazing gift of salvation, for the opportunity to have a relationship with God, for the prospect of spending eternity with Jesus in heaven? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul talks about the idea of giving and stewardship and how the churches of Macedonia gave out of their poverty even more than was expected. And then in chapter 9, I want to read some verses for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, the Word of God says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." So God says in his word that when you give, you can't outgive God, that you will abound in every good work. "As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Are people being thankful to God for your generosity? The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. And then, really, in some ways it seems a little bit out of context, but this thought, this idea explodes on the mind and explodes off the page of Paul's thought process as he's inspired by God to write down these scriptures, all scripture inspired by God. So this is God's message to us today. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Out of this whole talking about giving and how your giving and generosity creates thanksgiving in the hearts of others, Paul says, and the Word of God says to us, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. How many of us are truly, truly, sincerely thankful to God for all that he's provided for us? And how is that affecting how we live every single day of our lives, even when things aren't going our way? To illustrate how we often fail to give thanks, to give God thanks, the thanks that he deserves, Chuck Swindoll, in one of his books, tells the following story of a man he visited in a dismal situation in a veterans hospital. Chuck Swindoll writes, "The day I arrived to visit, I saw a touching scene. One of the veterans had a young son, And during this veteran's extended confinement in the hospital, he had made a little wooden truck for his boy. Since the boy was not allowed to go into the ward and visit his father, an orderly had brought the gift down to the child who was waiting in front of the hospital outside with his mother. The father was looking out of a fifth-floor window, watching his son unwrap this gift. Get the picture? The little boy opened the package, and his eyes got wide when he saw this wonderful little truck that his father had made. He hugged it to his chest. Meanwhile, the father was walking back and forth, waving his arms behind the window pane, trying to get his son's attention. The little boy put the truck down, and he ran over and reached up and hugged the orderly and thanked him for the truck. All the while, the frustrated father was going through these dramatic gestures, trying to say, "It's me, son. I made the truck for you. I gave that to you. Look up here, look up here." Finally, the mother and orderly turned the boy's attention up to that fifth floor window. It was then the little boy cried, "Daddy, Daddy, oh, thank you. I miss you, Daddy. Come home, Daddy. Thank you for my truck." Of course, the father stood in the window with tears pouring down his cheeks. How much like that child are we? Yeah, we're thankful, but are we really directing our thanks to the one? The Bible says that he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. God gives us every good and perfect gift. And we may thank everybody, but may fail to thank our Heavenly Father. Be thankful to him. Are we truly living with a thankful heart for all that God has done for us? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray together. Lord, we say thanks. Thank you today for Jesus. Thank you for the amazing sacrifice that he made on the cross for us so that we might enjoy and have eternal life. Thank you for the blessings that you pour out undeserved upon us. We are all undeserving of the grace and the merit that you offer to each one of us. Today, may we just simply say thank you to you with a grateful heart. May our hearts be turned to you. May we truly give thanks. We give you praise for this day. We thank you for the example in Scripture that we find of a grateful leper, 1 in 10. We pray that it's a lot better percentage for each one of us. And may we live with grateful hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the worship team leads us in this final song, I want to invite you, if you are truly thankful for what God has done for you and you want to make an expression of that by simply coming to the altar and praying, nothing magical or mystical about that necessarily, but it does demonstrate to God that yes, I am truly thankful. So I invite you to come and say a prayer of thanks at the altar for all that God, for Jesus, for all that God offers you. Let's stand up and sing.